Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
All right, Juwan James rips his Achilles. He's gone for the year. Could be losing up to $23 million. My guy Joel Vandenberg on Twitter says to me, Risner to right tackle, Mutai and Quinn compete for left guard. Why would this not be their number one option? You can't tell me Dotson or another free agent tackle would be better than Risner for the Broncos. What do you say about that, Tyler?
Well, I can't tell you the Risner's any good at playing right tackle. I don't know that. I know that he's dang good at playing left guard. I know that he probably could play right tackle in a pinch for the Denver Broncos, but could he play an entire season, play at a high level? That's a way different animal playing outside, playing against the speed guys, than it is playing on the inside against the big boys. So I've got no visual evidence to tell me that Dalton Risner would be the best option of playing right tackle. And furthermore, maybe more importantly, even if he is a pretty good option at right tackle, I know he's really, really good at playing left guard. Like, he can play at a Pro Bowl level if all goes well. So I'm not in the business of moving guys that play at a Pro Bowl level out of their current position.
I'm seeing this report from Mike Garofalo on the Juwan James situation. Doctors evaluated his Achilles, and told him they're hopeful he won't miss the entire season. I'm just seeing this. Surgery is slated for later this week, and they'll know more about the recovery time frame then. Oh my God!
Okay, so
is that how Juwan James gets his money?
Well, that complicates things significantly. If he can come back, what that does is now they will have to go to arbitration, and they will have to prove Juwan James will have to get healthy. Number one, he will have to get clearance from the team doctors that he could come back to play. And if he could come back to play in, say, week 13, week 12, whatever it might be, then yes, he would get his money from that period on, whatever his prorated portion of his salary would be for those weeks.
God.
So yes, he could get a portion of his salary. However, the majority of it would still remain in void.
Wow. But he could get something. Like, he can get paid for rehabbing, which he has to do anyway. There is a way for him to get something.
Yeah, I mean, if he can get himself medically cleared by the team doctors that he could come back, then yes.
I wonder, that's got to be in the millions of dollars, right?
So, well, yes. I mean, I would imagine, you know, if he could come back in week 14, somewhere along those lines, probably $2-3 million, somewhere in that ballpark, maybe even a little bit more.
So you'd still lose out on $20 million, but he can make two or three?
Yeah.
Huh? Well, that's more money than I'm going to make this year. I guarantee you that. ring it, Richie.
Achilles!
Okay, let's play a little game called Joke or Not. D-Mac, you know you know our friend Jim Benneman rather well, right?
Yeah, I love CBS. Jim Benneman. He's a big CSU guy. He's awesome. I love Jim Benneman.
Jim is a
great follow on Twitter, by the way.
Great follow on Twitter. He's also very funny on Twitter. So
very funny.
Tell me, joke or not.
Okay.
This comes from Jim on Twitter. I just had a Butterburger with Aaron Rodgers at Culver's on Arapaho Road. Dude likes his cheese curds.
Oh, that's totally a joke. But that's Jim's awesome.
I know. Of course, Jim's a joke, awesome. But it's just fun. I love the fact that he said that. We have legitimately had multiple people on the deep webs of the internet claiming they've seen A-Rod in Colorado in the last couple days, though.
That's cool.
Not that it means a single thing, but.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
Just fun to follow.
Fun state. There's a lot of nice things to do here. So. That's cool. Good for Jim. Ring it, Richie.
Jim's funny.
Jim is very funny. So in that mock draft that I saw, the Broncos were picking 24th.
Yes.
The Athletic's way too early mock draft. Tyler, do you believe the Broncos, as constituted, are actually a wild card playoff team as they're mocked to be for 2021?
as we sit today, I think you're around a 7 or 8 win team. If you get better quarterback play than you got last year, then yes, you are capable of being a wild card team. Without a doubt, you are. You've got a great roster. It's set up. All you need is better quarterback play. Whether that comes from Drew Lock or whether that comes from Teddy Bridgewater, you have to get better quarterback play than you got last year to be in the playoffs. So, as it sits today, I would say you're on the outside looking in, but you're a couple bounces the ball away from being in the playoffs.
Ring it, Richie.
Okay, D-Mac, we had an interesting situation pop up in the draft this year. We had 3 quarterbacks go in 4 picks. Khaki Panthers. Between the late second and early third rounds.
Yeah.
So we had Kellen Mond go to the Vikings. We had Davis Mills go to the Texans. And Kyle Trask go to the Bucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to force you to pick. If you had to pick one that you had to wager some money on that will have success and will end up starting for their team, which one would you pick?
Oh, Trask by a mile. And I said this yesterday. If you want to find exceptions to rules, they're out there. Here's an exception to a rule. Be a Super Bowl championship team who basically, Tyler, retained everybody. Somehow they figured out how to bring everybody back, right? And, so they really don't have a desperate need anywhere. And they're being smart. They're drafting a guy because they don't need to use their second round pick. And by the way, he went very, 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 might have been the last pick of the second round. You got me. Yeah, you got me. There's an exception to the rule. You got me. There's one.
Hey, you did have Kellen Mond on your board, dude. You were really high on Kellen Mond.
Yeah, but not that high because I wouldn't have given up a third-round pick. Well, that's Quinn Miners. So you're telling me you need a backup quarterback more than a starting offensive lineman or an inside linebacker. And I'd say you're crazy. That's dumb.
Okay, I'm going to go against you, actually. Here's my prediction. I think that Tom Brady will play another 2 or 3 years. Kyle Trask will get slotted into that backup role, and he probably will never get a real opportunity to go showcase his skill set. By the time they need an official starting quarterback, they'll go out and get someone in free agency via trade or in the draft or whatever it might be.
Well, then that's a really dumb pick.
The guy that I would pick is Kellen Mond, because I think there's something going on in Minnesota. They were rumored that they were trying very hard to get a quarterback in the first round, that they were actually trying to move up to get a quarterback. Now, rumors, they didn't do it, so you never really know or not. They are not satisfied with Kirk Cousins right now, and I actually think Kellen Mond has got a greater opportunity of playing immediately than Kyle Trask does. So if Kellen Mond seizes the day, well, it'll be him.
Well, let's dig into that conversation a little bit. Ring it, Richie. What is more disappointing in your opinion? The Nuggets losing last night to the Lakers or the Rockies giving up 10 runs in the top of the first today against the Giants?
Rockies are just doing stuff that I expect them to do. So, I'm not disappointed by anything the Rockies do at this point. Nuggets is, that was a disappointing one. You know, LeBron was not playing, and you know, you would like to think that you've been playing so well that you get an opportunity to face off against the Lakers, get a big win like that. You know, they did not get any help from the refs. It was actually a little bit of a joke at times. That one call against Anthony Davis, or for Anthony Davis, right, where he just totally flops. What a joke that was. But that was a disappointing game for the Nuggets. They lost that game about 10 times over, though.
Yeah, here's what was disappointing to me. There's no doubt right now the Nuggets are a better team than the Lakers. But once you get in the playoffs, that all goes out the door. And you really may feel, they really haven't felt the loss of Jamal Murray. They've been playing so well. But you could see last night, oh man, you know, it's the Lakers. They're still the Lakers. They're going to get calls. There's something about playing them that's just a little intimidating, and it just gives me I don't think the Nuggets are intimidated by any other team except the Lakers. And they're going on this weird, whatever happens, I just hope that it's not the Lakers in the first round. If it's in the second round, okay, fine, whatever. But not in the first round, because I think you could go out and you're a better team. And I just don't want to see it. Ring it, Richie.
All right, D-Mac, if you had to give me a percentage chance that the Denver Broncos will land Aaron Rodgers with information that we know today, what does that sit at?
Well, I think that's two different things. Are you telling me compared to all other teams or just in general?
Nope. The percentage odds of the Denver Broncos landing Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it would be such an incredible gaffe by the Packers. I would ultimately say common sense would rule the day. And I just don't. I mean, I'll stay at 30%. I know you think that's high, but I'll stick it at 30%. Compared to all the other teams, though, I still think the Broncos' percentage compared to other teams is high if it happens. You?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we're comparing against other teams, I'd put it in the 75 to 80% range because the Raiders aren't going to be as motivated as the Broncos are going to be.
Correct.
They've got a very capable quarterback in-house, so they're not going to give up just anything to go get him. The Broncos are in the AFC. They're in the right conference. They absolutely would have the highest percentage chance if they actually move him. I still land, I think it's closer to around 15 or 20%, though, because...
It happens.
Shoot, if I'm Green Bay... I'm trying to call his bluff, and I'm trying to go to marriage counseling. I'm trying to make this thing work.
You got 1 month. You got a month to figure it out, Ring and Richie. Wrap it up. Hey, man, I want to get back with you. By the way, Rockies down 8, going to the final inning.
Here we go.
7 inning high school baseball happening at Coors Field. Let's see how they do in that 7th inning. Stupid, dumb, but that's what's happening.
I already know what my next coffee bet is. The next time you tell me that it's going to be your one and only Rockies update, that's my next coffee bet.
I wouldn't have said anything until Ramel Tapia hit a grand slam.
Not true. You already gave multiple updates before that happened.
No, I did not.
True. True statement.
A lot of people determine that was a lie.
I brought up what might have been a historic epic failure in the first inning.
Hey. I'm just giving you facts. I'm just giving you facts.
You're not. You're lying. I said nothing until Tapia hit a grand slam in the bottom of the fourth.
That's not true.
Prove it. I mentioned the historic top of the first and didn't say boo until Tapia hit a grand slam. And now I'm intrigued by the game.
Look,
you guys are ready.
I know what my next coffee bet is, all right?
Go for it. I wanted to talk to you about the Kirk Cousins situation. What is the Kirk Cousins situation? Where does everything stand with Kirk Cousins?
Well, they've paid him a boatload of money. Mm-hmm. They have committed to him twice now, and he's given them average results. Kirk Cousins, statistically speaking, is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL if you just look at the stat line. Now, that doesn't always tell the full story, as we all know. You know, what happens in the win and loss column? What happens down there in the red zone? What happens with turnovers? The timing of the turnovers? All those sorts of things, they all factor into how good are you. But if you just look at the stat line, Kirk Cousins is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Reality is the Vikings are looking for more wins, and they have not got the wins to match up with the dollars that they've paid Kirk, and they are looking for options. And you know, they probably are not going to move on from Kirk Cousins because they didn't draft his replacement. They drafted competition for Kirk, but they were rumored to have been in the conversation for a first-round quarterback. They drafted Kellen Mond as a khaki pantser there. So I think it's going to be something that you keep your eye on in a year's time. I don't think anything's going to happen here in any time really quick. But, you know, maybe as a total wild card, as an outlier situation, you keep your eye on it because of the connections that George Payton has to the Vikings.
Okay. Well, let's keep our eyes on it. It always creates a confusing situation when you draft a quarterback. Well, third round. Yeah, it's confusing.
That's not confusing. Third rounder is not confusing. You can't say that guy's there to replace him.
A little bit. I mean, there's only two teams that did it. I mean, it was the Vikings and who took Davis? The Texans, who were
correct.
Terrible. Well, like the worst organization in football. Yeah, confusing. It doesn't happen.
I mean, it's not confusing. It's really not.
I think it is. In my opinion, I think it's confusing because at the end of the day, you are giving up a starter for what? For a backup?
Or maybe future? They were going with your overall approach. They were trying to build the depth of the quarterback room.
I'm fine with that. I just wouldn't do it in the third round. So in my opinion, it's confusing based on where you did it because in my opinion, You do that fourth round or deeper.
All right. You want to make a coffee bet? I'll make a coffee bet with
on
you.
On what?
That Kirk Cousins does not split any reps with Kellen Mond.
No, I'm not going to do that. That.
Well, then it's not confusing. That's not confusing at all, then. If you don't even believe that, then you don't even believe what you're saying.
No. What are you talking about?
You're saying that it's confusing about whether he's got an opportunity to compete with Kirk Cousins.
It creates a confusing situation because you decided not to get a starting linebacker, safety, wide receiver, whatever.
Well, it's not that confusing if you don't think he's going to take any reps from Kirk.
Well, hold on. Maybe it's not reps. I mean, listen, I think the Taysom Hill effect is in play. And although Mond doesn't really strike me as necessarily that type of guy, but I don't know, maybe. Compared to Kirk Cousins, he would be, I guess. So, I don't know. And I thought that's what Jalen Hurts was all about, but it wasn't. Jalen Hurts was, talk about confusing. You thought, oh, he'll be a nice addition. He'll have some sort of role with Carson Wentz. No, not at all. I mean, kind of, a little bit, but they didn't push it too far. And then it got awful, terrible, really confusing. I don't know. I don't care. You know, only dumb teams do that, in my opinion. And so I'm not going to sit here and say there aren't dumb teams or dumb general managers. Teams are dumb. Teams finish in last place every year, obviously. General managers get fired all the time. The NFL just replaced 7 general managers last year. So, you know, it is remarkable to me that people that get paid that much money and are in that power position and work their whole lives to be there could just be dumb. But then again, look at what George Payton just did in his first draft. He did some dumb things, and Elway in his happy place just sat back and was like, "Hey, man, have fun."
I mean, see you later. In my opinion, there's nothing confusing about it. They went out and they got a capable quarterback. That if they decide that they are really just that frustrated with Kirk, they've got a capable guy in house that they're okay with turning to. So I actually totally understand the logic there. If you're not comfortable with your starter, if you've got a little bit of doubt in your mind whether he's going to work out or not, go get somebody that you feel comfortable turning to if you need to turn the page.
We just got 2 different ways of looking at things, I guess. But
could you imagine that that's possible?
That there are two ways
to look at the quarterback theories?
Could you imagine that two
rational minds might actually have a different opinion on how to approach the quarterback situation?
Are you kidding me?
Based on recent trends, ESPN analytics suggests there's no more than 11% chance that any of those 3 khaki pantsers will become a starter.
Got it.
A contributor, 11% chance they'll become a starter.
Right. I don't think you're listening to me. What why they would have drafted him? It wasn't to make him the starter.
There's only one quarterback on the field at one time,
correct.
Right? You don't
have
like 5 wide receivers out there, 5 cornerbacks.
Oh my gosh!
Or
you could have just left it at two reasonable minds could have different opinions on it. You just couldn't leave it there, could you?
Sure. There's that opinion, which gives you an 11% chance of even starting, and then there's the other opinion about
drafting. You didn't listen to me about why you would have drafted him. It wasn't to start him.
Then what?
You know, what part did you not listen to?
Forget it. Don't worry about it. It's all good. I'm in my happy place.
No, you're not. You're not listening place.
I'm really not. But yeah, let me get. Oh, there's John Elway.
I wasn't arguing to go draft somebody in the third round to start.
I'm really not listening now because I'm just looking at John and he looks so happy.
Why don't you give us a Rockies update?
And I'm smiling and John's smiling and we're just looking at George Payton like, hey man. That was harder than it looked. Oh, the Rockies lost 12-4 in a 7-inning game. So rest up, everybody. Game 2 starts in minutes on the We're in Last Place Network.
Nice.
But we're in our happy place. Maybe it's not so happy. Who knows? Kirk Cousins. I don't know. Listen, man, if you want to just go down the quarterback free agent Russian roulette school, that did net you Peyton Manning, which was awesome, but it did get you Case Keenum and Joe Flacco, which wasn't awesome.
D-Mac, now I'm going to try this a different way. What if you were doing it to build the depth of the room in case you need somebody else to play?
Okay.
Not to start, for the depth of the room.
That's fine by me, but I wouldn't do it in a round where I would typically get a starter.
Third round's a guaranteed starter.
In the NFL, yeah. Unless.
But I thought you always argued that the value of the position. What about the value of the position?
Then I would take him in the first round, Tyler.
But then he's a starter. And you're not drafting him to be the starter.
He's an eventual starter. That's it. That's what I would do. You get your starting quarterbacks in the first round. You get your developmental guys fourth round and deeper.
There could be anomalies. There might be. There might just
be anomalies. Of course. There's an 11% chance.
No, no, 11%. Not to start. Gosh, you still are not listening.
I don't build the depth. I am listening.
Stats about starting.
I am. I don't build the depth of the room in the second or third round. I just would never do it. I would never build the depth there. You can build the depth later on. Oh, my Lord. It's not that complicated.
For you, it is.
Hey, good luck. And Kyle Trask has the best shot. Mond, all right. I really like Mond. I talked about him a lot. I like him quite a bit. So, all right, maybe you're right. It means you're it means Kirk Cousins is kind of a failure for you, I guess. But I don't know. Maybe that works out for you. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. It's just not a strategy I would adopt. That's all. But, yeah, you're in trouble when you're already a playoff team. And you listen, the first thing the Broncos would have to think about if they got Aaron Rodgers, Tyler, is who's going to replace Aaron Rodgers. And that's what the Broncos didn't do with Brock Osweiler. They should have. They should have made a decision on Brock.
Maybe you just keep developing Drew Locke.
Sure. Just keep going. It's fun. You know, we have a month of this left. You realize that, right?
We've got 359 days of this left of you discussing the same quarterback.
Not if they get Aaron Rodgers, dude. Are you kidding me? What do you think? I sat there when Peyton Manning was on the team.
So you're saying you would actually give George Payton credit for the draft then, huh?
A plus if he gets Aaron Rodgers.
All right.
Freaking A plus.
All right.
A plus. And if there's a cornerback swap and that means something to the Packers, and that actually A freaking plus.
Hey, let's all just hope that that happens, huh?
Happy place. But listen, man, where are we with the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes? And we'll check in with our insider, Troy Rank, all still to come right here on The Drive.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Yeah, boy! Boys, come on, man.
Hey, man, back in the day, I did a show with Cecil, and I got to tell you, this was our intro song. This was it. Brought it in with Beastie Boys every day.
Man, I tell you what, little Paul Revere. All right, you know what I find so much fun? And I'm having fun with things. I'm not bitter or upset or whatever. I'm having fun. And we are going to have so much fun for the next month talking about Aaron Rodgers, Tyler, clearly, right?
No doubt about it. I'm going to dream about it every night.
Yeah. So what's the best way to have fun with this for a month? Like, should we have updates? Should we be looking through things? Should we look into his fiance? I mean, what's the right way here?
Well, I think we need to keep a tally count on every national media personality that says that Denver would be the lead dogs in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstake. And we've already got to be up to about 10 on that one. Maybe keep a count on the Aaron Rodgers sightings in Colorado. I don't know. Did you see the deep web stuff going on last night? Did you see it?
No, help me out.
Didn't see the deep web stuff. Honestly,
I'm hanging out
on the deep webs. That's where I'm hanging out. Apparently, there was an Aaron Rodgers sighting at Centennial Airport yesterday. I'm just saying, you know, now this is hanging out on the deep webs of the Reddits. So, you know, I'm just, look, believe it if you want, believe it if you don't want to, or don't believe it if you don't want to. But look, it's out there. There was an Aaron Rodgers, Shailene Woodley sighting at Centennial Airport yesterday.
Ooh,
what's it mean?
For those that don't, maybe people don't know, Centennial Airport is a private airport. I mean, less than a mile from Dove Valley, Tyler.
Right.
They
were coming back from the Kentucky Derby, probably.
Okay, there you go. Uh-huh. There, yeah, I was trying to figure that out.
That's right. That's right.
He just takes a private plane because why fly through DIA if you don't have to? And
they're going back to Boulder where Shailene lives. Now,
she's, yeah,
I would think they could fly into a private airport up by Boulder, but I'm not going to worry about that part of it.
Yeah, that's the. I was thinking that too. I was trying to avoid that. Are there private air? There got to be.
Well, there is one in Boulder, but actually, I'm not sure. You know, depending on what type of aircraft, he probably flies a pretty big aircraft. You know.
Yeah. Why would he fly a pretty big aircraft? All right. Well, yeah, stuff like that. That's good though. Or are there photos with that, or is this just...
No, this is pure speculation of some random stranger on the internet that wrote it.
All right. Well, that's not a ton to go with, but... Yeah, no, I think we should all have fun with it. You know, it's all... I mean, it's all over the place. Yeah, 7 teams that could trade for Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to hear 7 teams... I'm seeing that on ESPN Plus.
Oh, tell me the 7 teams.
The 7 teams would be
because they
Browns.
All got to be AFC, right?
Well, let's go through it. According to this article, this is Barnwell and ESPN. Browns, Broncos, Raiders, Dolphins, Giants, Titans, Washington.
Browns, Broncos, Raiders, Dolphins, yeah. Giants, and what?
Titans.
Washington Titans, got it.
Washington Titans. So, all right, let's go through the Browns.
All right, let's just start crossing them off one by one here, okay? All right,
okay.
Browns. No, they don't really need to do that. They've got the young buck, right? Okay? I'm crossing them off the list. Miami, okay. Maybe. They can still pull it off. I'll keep going. Just give me the teams. Give me the teams here.
All right, Raiders.
Raiders, definitely a possibility. They are on the
big
list.
Big time. Giants.
Giants. Okay. All right. Yes.
Titans.
Titans. Oof.
I mean, we can make a case for it or against it.
There's about 3 teams in the NFL that you couldn't make a case for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, does it like just outright just make sense that the Titans would go out and make a desperate play for Aaron Rodgers when they're already a playoff team? I don't think so. I mean, in my mind, you don't want to leverage your future like that. You've got a good thing rolling right now if you're the Titans. I'm crossing them off the list.
Okay, Washington football team.
Definitely on the list.
same.
By the way, Washington football team.
Same conference as the Packers. Same, both in the NFC.
Washington football team, maybe more desperate situation at quarterback than the Denver Broncos as far as young guns go. Did not pick up a single quarterback in the draft, so they are definitely on the list.
Yeah, we're not alone. We're not the only ones. There's a lot of reasons it makes sense for the Broncos, of course, but there's reasons it makes sense for all those teams.
Right.
So, and everybody now is in the...
Okay, well, hold on. Now I got it down to 5. I took 2 off of that list. Now I could prioritize those 5 of what makes sense the most for Aaron Rodgers and everybody, right?
All right, go ahead.
Miami's not feeling as desperate as the rest of these teams because they've got Tua. Okay. They've got a pretty good situation. So I'm putting them at 5 out of 5.
Okay.
Washington football team, they're pretty dang desperate. However, they are in the NFC, so I'm going to put them lower on the list as well because I don't think the Packers would want to see him go there. So I'm putting them 4. Then I'm putting Giants 3. Okay, now it's down to the Raiders and the Broncos. So which one is most likely out of Raiders and Broncos?
I think it's a coin flip.
Who has
better receivers?
Broncos. Overall, yeah, Broncos.
Okay, who has a better offensive line?
Right now, the Broncos. Before they got to the offseason, I would have said the Raiders, but for absolutely no reason, they just dismantled one of the best offensive lines in the NFL.
Here's a tricky one for you. Here's a trick. We might have to think about this for a second. Who has the better one for the head coach for Aaron Rodgers? Not the better head coach, but the better head coach for Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, well, that's the Raiders. No question about it.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I mean, you get an offensive guy who's going to be able to design his system for Aaron Rodgers. How in the world would Vic Fangio be the best offensive coach for Aaron Rodgers?
Because I'll go with the Peyton Manning route. Why John Fox made a lot of sense because he left Peyton Manning alone and he just customized everything around whatever Peyton Manning wanted, which is, you know, essentially what I would think Aaron Rodgers would want.
Okay, well, I guess. I mean, you bring in the right coordinator, or you just tell the coordinator, hey, just learn from Aaron. Let Aaron tell you what he wants to do and get out of the way.
Correct. Could Pat Shurmur do that?
Well, okay, I could see that to a degree, because if you go back to the origins of the Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers beef, it was way before the Jordan Love stuff. Do you remember what it started around?
No, I sure do.
Do you remember what?
Well, I know, oh, man, it was some sort of... It was a play calling thing, wasn't it?
Well, sort of, yeah. I mean, it started around the fact that Matt LaFleur runs a check with me system. And so what that means is that in a West Coast system, you're going to call in, not all the time, but many times you're going to call in two plays. So you'll call two jet all go special, alert 18. And you get up to the line of scrimmage and you've got your indicators that tell you which one you're supposed to run. You say alert, and you've just got the two options. Well, Aaron Rodgers, the way that he's used to operating is he's used to getting up to the line of scrimmage and being like Peyton Manning, doing whatever the heck he wants to do. So there was a huge conflict right out the gate. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be allowed to audible at the line of scrimmage and do the things that he wants to do? Matt LaFleur originally didn't want to let him. They found a little bit of common ground there, but that was the original beef. So I guess I could see that a little bit, because John Gruden is more of a check with me, West Coast type of guy.
All right, good, cool. Fun stuff to consider and to look at. And for the latest and greatest with everything, let's check in with Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, earlier today we caught up with our guy Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, brought to you by
ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
The Juwan James situation. Man, what is the latest, Troy?
Listen, injuries stink. It's awful, and it's made worse for him by the fact that he heeded the Players Association's advice to work off-site, and by injuring himself off-site, it could cost him $20 million. And nobody's going to have sympathy for that, I understand. I feel for the player anytime someone gets hurt, and also for James, who was eager to try to rebound and kind of reclaim his Broncos career. From the lineman I had talked to, you know, he was excited about getting back on the field. But as it stands, D-Mac, I mean, the Broncos could ultimately be on the hook for $17 million for 63 snaps. You know, they could get out from under $20 million. They may try to claw back a portion of his signing bonus, as much as $3 million. But the reality is he's going to go down as arguably their biggest free agent signing bust ever.
Oh, my gosh, Troy, I've got so many thoughts on this one. I don't even know where to start with you. But I guess let's just start with this. Talk to me about the finances of it. I mean, Juwan James made a decision that he wanted to stay home, work out from home, rather than being at the facility. And now because of that, because he didn't want to work out at the team facility with Lauren Landau, who I promise you would have had him go through an active warm-up, and I doubt this would have happened, now he is at risk of losing close to, like, $20 million? Is that what it is, Troy?
Yeah, I mean, it's awful for him. Again, he had been working out at the facility, Tyler, until the NFLPA encouraged players to not report to voluntary workouts and to, you know, and protest in part, as D-Max had talked to, it's kind of a silent, if not tepid protest about COVID-19 protocols. It's more, factually, about the length of the off season. So by choosing to work out off-site, he put himself in jeopardy, because when the players said we're not going to report to off-season workouts through the NFLPA, NFL teams countered by saying, as part of the new CBA, we're not going to guarantee your contracts if you're injured off-site. That was their counter move. And, you know, James now becomes this example case number one of the danger of not being at the facility. And these are part of union issues, and then he gets entangled in it. But it ultimately could cost him $20 million if they go back at $3 million of his signing bonus, the way it's prorated, it could ultimately cost him $23 million.
Wow.
Goodness gracious, man.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Troy, I mean, is there any reaction about this from Dove Valley? Have you heard from anybody?
Listen, you know, I mean, publicly, they're sorry for James to get hurt, and they were encouraged, George Payton included, about his work recently and that his enthusiasm kind of for turning to work. He was going to have to ingratiate himself back with the offensive line, but, you know, Dalton Reisner or others were open to that, trying to get him kind of back on board, if you will, because it's such a tight group among the offensive linemen. I mean, but privately, I mean, are they going to bemoan the fact that they're off the hook from this money for a guy they weren't sure was going to be able to play? I mean, they would never say this publicly, but let's call it what it is. They didn't know what to expect from James. He's played 63 snaps over three games 2 years ago. Last year he opted out. They hadn't seen him in pads in 16 months. That wasn't going to happen until training camp. They didn't know what to expect from him because they just hadn't laid eyes on him. That's why they were so encouraged recently when he was at the facility. Like, okay, he's definitely all in. He wants to be part of this. You got to see what it looks like on the field. But the reaction is his bad break may have allowed them to, you know, catch a break, because I don't know if he would have started. And again, I hate when guys get injured, so I hate talking in those terms. But that is the reality. There was no guarantee he was going to start and be the guy at right tackle.
Over who? Who would have started over him?
Well, Calvin Anderson, you go get someone during camp. They were going to just kind of play. They were kind of slow playing this to see where he was. And Tyler, if they didn't like what they saw in, you know, in June for sure, when the, you know, mandatory minicamp set up, that's when they could have, in theory, made a move. You know, you could either trade for someone, you could get someone off the street. You could say that you trust Calvin Anderson. You could move positions. I mean, it's not a great option, but Calvin Anderson started twice last year, and they do have high hopes for him. They're going to have to add a veteran, though, to protect themselves. You know, is that Charles Leno, who just got cut? Is that Mitchell Schwartz? I mean, there's a few guys out there. I know Eric Fisher is visiting the Colts, but I'm not sure when he'd be healthy, because his was an Achilles late in the playoffs last year. But there's some options out there, Tyler. Now, there's some health issues there, but Charles Leno, certainly a guy to keep an eye on. He just got cut. And Mitchell Schwartz, who plays right tackle and had played it very well until last year for the Chiefs.
Yeah, Broncos management might like Mitchell Schwartz because he's ripping on the NFLPA with a tweet in regards to, hey, was it worth it, you know, staying away from the facility? Did that earlier today, which is definitely a pro-management side. He'd be, you know, he'd get along with Terry Bradshaw on that. So now what? Troy, what do you think? What do you think is next? And I get it, hindsight's 20/20, but in light of everything and how predictable it was that you wouldn't be able to count on Juwan James, does this impact how you would evaluate the draft of George Payton?
Well, it wasn't a great draft for tackles, and I don't think they liked Slater enough to take him a 9, or they just loved Pat Surtain. So, obviously, if they had known James was going to get hurt, they should have taken a tackle in the first 3 rounds. It wasn't a great tackle draft, but you could certainly argue there were tackles available in the 2nd round. Yeah. 3rd, it got pretty slim. This wasn't a great tackle draft. It was really top-heavy. But, yeah, I mean, hindsight, they wish they had. They signed it an undrafted free agent. They're going to bring in some street guys, see where that lands. But I don't fault the team for not knowing a guy's going to get hurt. Like, if he was in hurt.
Yeah, but you should know that you can't depend on this guy. Because, all right, let me ask you this, Tyler and Troy. If it wasn't this, was it going to be something else? What do you guys think?
Well, I was not counting on him to play in 17 games, that's for sure. You know, I thought he would play in about half the season. Something would pop up, and we would have a need for a backup tackle. So it's inexcusable, in my opinion, to be at this point without another legitimate starting option in-house. So,
Troy?
Look,
yeah.
You can't get mad at him, though. I stand by it. I can't get mad at him for tearing his Achilles. It just feels like ultimate irony is all.
But that's what I said. If it wasn't this, was it going to be something else? I mean, we thought it was. We thought it was going to be something else, Tyler. I mean, we couldn't predict, right, like an injury, but we thought, well, it's going to be something else, Troy.
Well, listen, as much as they like Calvin Anderson, I wondered if Anderson is just going to beat him out in camp. Because they just, James.
All right, then who's behind?
Up.
All right, but who's behind Anderson then? Like, who's our swing tackle then? Who's Quinn Bailey? Oh, well.
You'd have Quinn Bailey. But, again, they're going to add somebody.
Go Devils.
Again, they're going to add somebody. And it might not be a great option. It might be someone coming off injury. Maybe someone else gets cut. You're seeing players get cut post-draft. I would expect them to add a veteran right tackle to protect themselves. They've done that through the years, even as late as, early in training camp. It's not ideal. I'm with you, D-Mac. And, again, I wondered if he would get beat out because, did James going to show up and he was 20 pounds lighter and didn't look like the guy you signed? I mean, he just didn't know. And there was no real belief he could stay healthy for a full season based on the previous 2 years. So, again, I expect a right tackle to be in there, a veteran, within the next couple of weeks. Certainly when you get to June, you want to have somebody in place that could at least push or start if necessary. Almost like when did they sign Dotson last year? It's a guy like that protects you in camp and you hope gets beaten out. Well, last year, Elijah Wilkinson wasn't very good and was hurt, and Dotson ended up beating him out eventually. So it would be someone of that vein that you would need to protect yourself for depth and experience.
All right, Troy, we love you. We'll talk to you later, pal.
See ya.
That's our guy, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos Insider, brought to you by
Rocks Heating and Air. That's our Wix, Rocks Heating and Air.
Man, Tyler, I cannot wait to really dig into this second Rockies game today. The first one went so well, but
can't wait. Be watching every second of it. D-Mac, I'll give you all the updates.
I appreciate it. But more importantly, what did Nick and Cecil think about the Juwan James situation and the latest with Aaron Rodgers? The fan rolls with Nick and Cecil coming up next.